That's what it sounded like you were telling me that I had a right to do. That process of coming to believe was not an easy journey for me. See, there's an area in our steps that we don't talk about a whole lot, and that's that area between step one and step two. That's called the void, y'all, you know? And as much as I've spent years in recovery trying to find different things to fill the void, trying to stand still and feel the void and not fill the void, I had never taken time until recently to find out exactly what was down in that bottomless pit. What was so powerful that I would always feel the need for instant gratification? Why couldn't I stand still? Why did I always have to feel like running? Well, God brought me into Narcotics Anonymous because that night I got so sick, and when I heard him tell me I didn't have to do this anymore, that he had something else for me to do, I got my butt up off the floor and I went to a detox. 4 days later, I celebrated my first day clean, which was May 6, 1986. And I went from there to rehab, and I went from rehab to a shelter, and I don't want to make it sound like I was just really spiritual and still all gung-ho, because I didn't know anything really about spirituality and recovery and steps. I really thought when I looked at the placards on the wall, I was already at the 12th step because I was so nurturing and fix it and do everything for everybody that I really thought that that's where I was. That all I had to do was intellectually read this stuff, and that's where I was going to be. And I was going to be able to stay clean and live a happy, joyous, and free life. Well, as God would see fit, there's been many experiences over the last almost 10 years that have brought me to be the person that He wants me to be today. I know that I don't know all of God's will for me, but I do know that He wants me to become all that I can possibly be. He wants me to be all that I can be, so I can stand up here and tell you that who I am today is somebody that I like. Who I am today is somebody that I respect, that I trust the decisions that I make. You know, that I go to people and I use people in Narcotics Anonymous to help me get a balance. That when my insane thinking takes over, I know the first thing I better do is talk to another recovering addict. Because I found out that for me, step two was not a hope step until I could live in step two. First 6 months that I was clean, that pain of not using felt worse than the pain of using. Because I didn't have anywhere to go. I was just like floundering. I knew I couldn't go back. I didn't know what was waiting for me. The control addict that I was, I always wanted to know what was waiting for me. I have to know what's around the corner or I'm not going. Who's going to be there? What are we going to do? What time? How much? How long is it going to take? I want to know. And all you all could tell me was just keep coming back, hold on, turn it over, this too shall pass. And I'd be like, damn. I don't think so. I'm different than you guys. I need to know. But something was happening happening inside of me already, and I held on, and I didn't use. 90 days clean, I had a man in the room hit me in my face at a meeting. And the reason he had hit me in my face at the meeting was because I still didn't really know how to talk to people, but I knew I wasn't talking to people like I had. And first of all, I didn't have drugs in me, so I wasn't that crazy. And I told this man, I said, you know, you chaired the meeting, you spoke at the meeting, you talked the whole meeting, and nobody else got a chance to share. I don't think that's fair, you know? And he said, well, he said, F you, I don't really care what you think, this is my meeting. And I knew that that wasn't right, and I went to say something else, and he hit me in my face. And it's not that it hurt me so bad physically, but what I found out that happened, like, I was so angry that all I wanted to do was call home to North Philly to this man that I lived with and said, do something to him. Have something done to him. And you know what? I didn't call home. But about a week later, he called me and told me that he had found out about it. But what he asked me was this. He didn't ask me where he lived. He said, what meeting does he go to? And somehow I knew that that was not going to be a spiritual or good thing to have somebody hurt outside of a meeting. So I just told him it's done with. Well, the brother made amends to me. He was very hurt about it. And he relapsed 3 months later. And I wasn't happy about that. I wasn't happy about that at all. I was starting to become a person in recovery who was being grateful for the miracle that was happening in my life. For the probability that if we came in here, not just the possibility, but the probability that if we did what we needed to do, we could live happy, joyous, and free. As long as we took suggestions and do what we needed to do. But I jumped over the second step, not with a minimum of concern, but with great deliberation. And I never knew until I was 6 years clean why I had to keep going back there all the time. Because I found out later that the second step wasn't about God. It was very easy for me to say I believed in God. The second step was about you guys. I found that out from reading further in the basic text when it says the power that we seek comes from others in Narcotics Anonymous, but we must reach out for it. I knew that that was the answer, but that was my greatest fear. I was too vulnerable. Couldn't you see that I felt less than you all the time anyway? And the reason I had to walk around with my head up and act proud and act accomplished was because that way you wouldn't know how badly I felt about me. My greatest pain in using was not the rapes or the sodomies or being beaten or drugged out of bars or locked up. The physical pain. The greatest pain for me was coming to not like this skin that I had to live inside of because I could never get out of it. All the people that were in my life got harmed, but they always had a choice that they could get away from me. I could never get away from me. I woke up inside of me every day, and it hurt. That was deep powerlessness, and I didn't understand that. The rest of the time that I've spent here in Narcotics Anonymous has been a very challenging, growing trip for me. At 4.5 years clean, my youngest brother was killed in a car accident. And my brother Michael was clean in Narcotics Anonymous for 4 years. But when I share about him, I tell you that he died as a direct result of this disease. My brother died from not dealing and not accepting and owning his need to control in the relationship he was in, his anger, his rage that he thought had subsided because he didn't drink or use drugs anymore. And he was fighting with his new wife of 2 weeks in a car, fighting with her in a car, and drove 60 miles an hour and parked into headfirst into a parked tow truck on the parkway in New Jersey. And he lived 9 days, and he let me know that this program works. But he also let me know that I better work it to the best of my ability. Two weeks later, I got married in recovery. I married another recovering addict. That's a great challenge and a joy. And the thing I need to share with you, though, is that I had become such a proud, willful addict that in spite of the fact that at that point in my life I did have a God of my understanding, I still didn't understand that God talked to me. I had come to believe that he talked to me through you. I still had not come to believe that he talked to me inside of me. I could not believe that when my gut talked to me that I needed to listen. Somehow I still second-guessed myself. I doubted my own recovery. I was told from inside and out not to marry this man. This was not the person that God had planned for me. But my will and my ego was, this is $16,000 that he spent. He must love me. So what that he has gone outside of this relationship many times? I believe that if we get married, this will change. It doesn't matter that he doesn't have a sponsor, he's not working steps, he's going to change. I've changed, so he's bound to change. But you know what the blessing was? I had always been a person that had 2 or 3 people. I had always been afraid to be intimate and commit to any situation. My feet kept roller skates on them. I used to tease people and tell them I used to keep my escape mobile gassed up, key in ignition, running, club off, door open, ready to jump in and go. If it looked like I was going to be hurt, I was out of the picture. And what I managed to do was become somebody that in spite of what was going on in that relationship, I was monogamous and I didn't run. I did my absolute best. Years after we separated, I had to make amends to him. And because I had talked so badly about his infidelities and his inability to change and his character defects for the first 6 months we were separated, he would thought I was crazy. I said, I'm calling you up to tell you that I'm truly sorry for hurting you. He said, what do you mean? I said, everyone deserves to have someone in their life who accepts them just for who they are. I could never accept you just for who you are. And I went on a journey, a 24/7 mission to make you into the person that I thought you should be, that I thought I needed you to be. See, but the great damage was that the reason I did that was because I could not step out on faith. I could not let go. It was not him that I was really trying to change. It wasn't him. It was me that I was just trying to protect. I didn't believe anybody else was going to want me. I didn't believe that I was going to be with anybody. I believed I was going to grow old and die by myself. I didn't believe I could take care of myself. I had a better job than him, and I paid most of the bills. You know? I was afraid he was going to find somebody else. My friends reminded me he already had. There was no reason to stay. I finally got the courage to end, because we got married 2 weeks after my brother died, and 5 months later, the insanity was so great that I was not afraid of using. I was afraid of hurting him. I was afraid of doing something very violent to him. And really what it was is I was so afraid because I knew that my back was against the wall and I had to get out, but the fear was so great, I figured if I could just change him, I won't have to make this decision. I can just stay. Why can't you change so I don't have to go? I finally made the decision, I love you, but you gotta go. And it wasn't easy. 2 months later, my mother was diagnosed with cancer. On February 28, 1991, which was only 29 days after they diagnosed her, she died of cancer. On May 6th of that year was Mother's Day, and I celebrated my 5th anniversary. And my sponsor's husband told me that between 5 and 9 years, I would experience all the feelings that I had never felt in my life. I could not imagine what he was using, because I really believed that I had felt everything there was to feel. I really believed that there was no more extreme depth of powerlessness than to watch my brother's body on a slab in a morgue at a hospital and not be able to get him up. I really believed there was no deeper powerlessness I could feel than to watch my mother's body, her beautiful little strong body, decay from cancer and not be able to stop the pain, her pain or mine. I really believed that there was nothing else, because those two situations made me have thoughts of using. The people from Narcotics Anonymous went with me to the hospital, to their funerals. They came to my house. They hugged me. They walked with me until those thoughts of using were gone. This too shall pass, they told me. And I filled all these voids with other things, of course, and the only thing I really knew how to fill the void with was another individual again in my life. And finally, after the next year and a half or so, I made a decision to get into a relationship that would change my life. And the relationship only lasted 3 months, but the relationship was with a man who was my dear friend. It was with a man who still lived with someone else and was in the process of leaving, you know, always in the process of leaving. And somehow I rationalized and justified. I had almost 7 years clean, and I really believed that, like, I wouldn't be making this decision unless it was healthy. You know, I mean, there's just too much evidence that this is God's will for me. You know, we're both Narcotics Anonymous message carriers, and I love him dearly as my friend, and they say be friends first, so I mean, what the hell, you know? And 3 months later, I found that entire 3 months, my stomach turned all the time. I mean, I couldn't sleep. I must have lost about 15 pounds, and this was in a relationship, not trying to get out of one. Couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, couldn't think, because see, now I know I was not doing the right thing. I don't care what I saw him to be, how spiritual I thought myself to be, how much I thought God had brought us together. I knew it wasn't supposed to be like that. And when I found out that he was really involved with a couple of other people besides me, that I wasn't the only special person in his life, what I asked him was, what do you need from me? And he said, I think I need some space, but I'm afraid to lose you. And I said, well, if you don't have enough space to step off, I have enough for both of us. And I got home once again, and I got down on my knees and thanked God for doing for me what I couldn't do for me. And at that point in my recovery, you have to understand, I was like 6.5, 7.5 years clean. And I knew at that point, in spite of the betrayal and the anger and the loss of the friendship was so great, that was the greatest price. See, that was my experience in not damaging or aborting friendships in Narcotics Anonymous. I have men in this program who are my brothers, and I can abort those relationships at the drop of a hat because I'm a very sexual individual. I sexualize a lot of things. You know, instant gratification in itself was my drug of choice. It didn't matter what made me feel good. It didn't matter what made me feel bad a lot of times, as long as it made me feel different. And I aborted a whole lot of friendships in here. Men who would come into the rooms and didn't want to say hi to me anymore. Men who found out that I could be just as deceitful and devious as some of them had been with me. I found out just how deceitful and devious I could be. I started a journey into the dark side of this addict. When they talk about the exact nature I'm not talking about generic, everybody else, let's categorize it, classify it, round the block. I'm talking about who are you? And I found out just who I was around that time. I was standing in my mirror in my bedroom, and Dutch had just called me, as a matter of fact, that week. And he said, Jackie, you're not showing up at commitments. Nobody's seen you. What's going on? And I told him, I said, I'm hurt. And I'm real afraid of people in Narcotics Anonymous. I feel like they're laughing at me. I feel like I'm the last one to know. I feel humiliated, judged. I'm afraid. I feel real vulnerable. He said, but don't you remember that this is the place that you get the love? I know you feel like you live in a fishbowl and everybody knows what you do. Well, you know what I found out in Narcotics Anonymous? It doesn't matter if you ever speak at a meeting. Everybody in here knows what you do anyway.